بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are continuing our discussion about honorable life. One of the things that we have in Islamic approach to life is that we should rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not rely on other people. We should not even rely on ourselves. Unfortunately, there is a common mistake, misconception among some people that they say you should rely on yourself. You should feel confident about yourself. You should have self-confidence, self-sufficiency, in the sense that there is no one else that you need. You don't need to refer to God. And inshallah, as I will explain, this is very actually dangerous. I promised to start this session with a sermon from Nahjul Balagha, and that is sermon 87. Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, in part of this khutbah, the khutbah is longer than what we are going to quote, but in part of the khutbah says, Ibad Allah, O servants of God, Inna min ahabbi ibadillah ilay. Among the people that Allah loves the most lovable servants of Allah are the people who have these qualities. Inna min ahabbi ibadillahi ilay abdan a'anahu Allahu ala nafsih. Is that servant of Allah that Allah has helped him over himself against his own nafs. Then Amirul Mumin Salam explains, I read just quickly few lines and I come back to this notion. So when Allah helps someone against himself, then he would not be very happy and satisfied with his performance. He would be very critical of himself. He would realize that he has missed many opportunities. He has wasted his life. He has damaged his own taqwa, his own integrity. He has harmed other people. He becomes very much critical of himself. So as a result, فَاسْتَشَعَرَ الْحُزْنِ, then sadness becomes like a dress. شعار in Arabic is used for a dress like underwear, which touches your hair. Sha'ar means hair. So the dress that you put on under your shirt or under your coat, under your, I don't know, qaba, whatever, which touches your skin and hair, that is called sha'ar. So Amirul Mu'mineen says, this person is the one that has adopted huzn as his dress. Means he's very much feeling regretful and sorry about what he has done. وَتَجَلْبَبَ الْخَوْفِ. Jilbab is the dress which is normally on the top. You know, for example, in the ayah of hijab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ. The dress which is covering the body. So that is jilbab. So Amir al-Mu'min says they use huzn as the internal dress, and then there is khawf, like the cover. And when they are, in a sense, suffering from huzn and khawf, but in a real sense, when they are equipped with huzn and khawf. Some people think these huzn and khawf are bad things, but indeed these are weapons. These are sources of unlimited energy. So, when they are equipped with this huzn and khawf, this sadness about their performance, about their past, and the fear about what would they see as outcomes of the past, فَزَهَرَ مِصْبَاحُ الْهُدَى فِي قَلْبِهِ. Then the lantern of guidance, the light of guidance, will illuminate in his heart. So in a land which has been fertilized by huzn and khawf, light can grow. Opposite to this is the situation of the people who have farah and marah, the people who are very much, you know, pleased with themselves. Superficially, they are very happy. There is nothing really to celebrate. It's not that they have done big things. It's not that they have achieved a lot. But they are just happy with little things. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَكَيْ لَا تَعْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. You should be careful about two things. One is, do not become despaired because you have lost something. Something from dunya has been taken away. Don't become hopeless and despaired. And also, if something has been given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la tafrahu. Don't become too happy in the sense that you forget the seriousness of your situation in life. So my understanding, I have been reflecting on this concept of huzn a lot, and maybe inshallah sometime we should speak about huzn. What is huzn? Because if we say sadness, maybe sometimes people don't understand this properly. This is a kind of seriousness. Seriousness is the closest thing to sadness, but it's not sadness. Seriousness means you have to be serious in your life. Sometimes, you know, we just take life as a joke, as a game. We are not serious about life. We have to be serious. Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, for example, says about muttaqin that in the night when they stand up and read the Quran and do tahajjud, talina al-ajza' al-Quran, amma al-layl fasafuna aqdamahum talina al-ajza' al-Quran yurattilunahu tartila yuhazzanuna bihi anfusahum wa yastathiruna bihi dawa'adahum. In the night they stand up reading Quran carefully, and they make themselves sad with the Quran. What does it mean? It means they become serious. They seriously think about themselves and their life and their situation and responsibilities, the way they are going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This huzn is seriousness. And opposite to this is to be in a mood of just ridiculing, joking, and, you know, not being serious. So Amir al-Mu'minin says, after becoming equipped with huzn, sadness and seriousness, and khawf, fear, the light of guidance will be shining and illuminating in their heart. And after that, أَعَدَّ الْغِرَى لَيَوْمِهِ النَّازِلِ بِهِ, he would prepare غِرَى. غِرَى is something that you prepare for your guest. When you have a guest, you prepare food, something to offer to your guest. This is called غِرَى, which is prepared for زَيْف, for guest. So this person who is expecting his death to come like a guest prepares something for his guest. You shouldn't expect a guest and then relax and do nothing. If you expect a guest, you prepare yourself. You prepare the house, you clean the house, you clean yourself, you prepare food so that you can welcome your guest. وَأَعَدَّ الْغِرَى لِيَوْمِهِ النَّازِلِ بِهِ. And then Amir al-Mu'minin continues and he says, نَظَرَ فَأَبْصَرَ. This person who has been helped by Allah against his nafs and who has been equipped by seriousness and fear, and therefore the light of guidance is now shining in his heart and he's preparing himself for his death, then he is the one that when he looks, he can see. He has now vision. Like other people, he looks at things, but unlike other people, he can go through the things. People just stop on the surface. In Farsi, we have a proverb about the people who are experienced and they are wise, you know, like a sage. We say, Pir dar khisht kham. آنچه بیند که جوان در آینه نبیند. Sometimes a young person who has no experience, even in mirror, cannot see anything. But a sage can see even in brick. Very clearly everything. So these are the people that nadara, they look at things فأبصر, and they see. وَذَكَرَ فَاسْتَكْثَرَ. They are not forgetful. They remember and then they remember a lot. And Amir al-Mu'minin continues and then he says, قَدْ خَلَعَ سَرَابِيلَ الشَّهَوَاتِ. He takes off the trousers of shahawat. Amir al-Mu'minin is likening shahawat like a dress. They're taking off the trousers of shahawat. وَتَخَلَّى مِنَ الْهُمُومِ إِلَّا هَمَّا وَاحِدًا. Then he would have no concern except one concern. There's only one concern that they have. Anything else becomes insignificant unless if it can come under that main concern. Their concern is their relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their concern is their eternal life. If anything for this relation with Allah and for their akhirah is important, then it becomes part of their concern. But if they are not important for this, they are not part of their concern. So if they see an orphan crying, this is part of their concern. If they see a stranger is in need of help, it becomes part of their concern because this is part of their relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if they see that they don't have lots of money, this is not very important for them because this is not affecting their relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people are not showing that much, I don't know, appreciation of them, they don't bother. One of the things that we have about mu'min is that al-mu'minu mukaffar. What does it mean, al-mu'minu mukaffar? means mu'min many times does not receive enough appreciation. People do kufran and ni'mat with respect to mu'min, because they don't know how great is a mu'min, so they underestimate the value of mu'min. The angels know the value of mu'min. The souls of the mu'mineen who are in the other world, they know the significance of mu'min. But sometimes in dunya, people, even you know, people who are around you, may not appreciate who you are. So they have only one ham, one concern. فَخَرَجَ بِهِ مِنْ صِفَةِ الْعَمَى. So he is no longer blind. It means that before that you are blind. وَمُشَارَكَةِ أَهْلِ الْهَوَى. He is no longer of the, like the people who go after their whims. وَصَارَ مِنْ مَفَاتِيهِ أَبْوَابِ الْهُدَى. He becomes one of the keys of the gates of guidance. They can open the gates of guidance for other people. This is what we can achieve. This is what we can reach. You become key for the gates of guidance. So you become the instrument for giving access to people to the treasures of guidance. صَارَ مِنْ مَفَاتِيهِ أَبْوَابِ الْهُدَى. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam continues and he says, these are the people that يَقُولُ فَيُفْهَمْ. This khutbah is so important that Ibn Abi al-Hadid, Ibn Abi al-Hadid is a Sunni alim, Mu'tazili, a commentator of Nahj al-Balagha. He has one of the best commentaries of Nahj al-Balagha. And he says, this khutbah is one of the sources of irfan. Real irfan is understandable from this khutbah. It's very profound and very deep. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, such people, yaqulu fayufhim. When they speak, they make everyone understand. It's not that everyone who is, you know, eloquent or, you know, is a good writer, he is able to add to the knowledge of people. There are people who can make you enjoy, they can entertain you, but when you go home, you see you haven't learned anything. Indeed, just few more question marks, few more confusions. But Amir al-Mu'mineen says, these are the people that if they speak, they make you understand. They add to your knowledge. Now you have more yaqeen, more understanding of what you are supposed to do. يَقُولُ فَيُفْهِمْ وَيَسْكُتْ فَيَسْلَمْ. And sometimes they keep silent and therefore they remain safe. It's not that you should speak all the time. They know when to speak and they know when to keep silent. If someone speaks all the time and doesn't observe any limitation and any restriction, and he says everything, it's a problem. We don't have any principle, any rule in Islam that you should say everything on every platform. Any hadith should be said on TV. Anything you have to translate and publish. We don't have such principle. Actually, we have lots of hadith against this, that you have to choose what are the things to share, what are the things to keep for ourselves, for the people who have the previous experience, the prerequisites, so that they can understand. So, يَقُولُ فَيُفْهَمْ. If he decides to speak, he speaks in such a way that make everyone understand. And if he decides to keep silent, then he remains safe and makes also other people safe. قَدْ أَخْلَصَ لِلَّهِ فَاسْتَخْلَصَهُ. He purifies himself for Allah, so he is mukhlis, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him completely pure. He becomes mukhlis. We have mukhlis and mukhlis. So he has done purification and then Allah takes over and completes the job. فهو من معادن الدين. Then he becomes a معدن, a mine, a source for the religion of Allah. وأوتاد أرض. It's a beautiful expression. Our ulama also use this expression. They say, for example, when they want to say someone is great, or for some, you know, companions of Imam Zaman, they use the term awtad. Awtad means nails. Nail is watad. Awtad means nails. Quran says that Allah has made mountains wal jibala awtada. Mountains are made like nails. This is also by itself a mu'jiza, that Quran explains that these mountains that you see, it's not that they are only on the surface. A nail, only a small part of it is what you see. Most of the part is inside. And these mountains are important for stability of the earth. They can prevent earthquakes. Okay? So, wal jibala awtada. Among people, there are mu'mineen who are like awtad for people. They bring stability. If in every community we have 10, 20 of such awtad, such people who are like nails, strong, you see only 10% of them, but 90% is hidden from people, very well rooted and connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can keep all the community together. And they can all refer to them. Amirul Mu'mineen says, these people are the people that become awtad ardh. They become like nails, bring stability to the whole world. قَدْ أَلْزَمَ نَفْسَهُ الْعَدْلِ. He has made it compulsory for himself to observe justice. Justice is very important. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. The first thing is justice, and then after justice, ihsan, to do good to other people. But if you do zulm and do good, it's not sufficient. You have to make sure that you don't do zulm, and then you make sure that you also go out to help. Zulm is damaging and destructive. A mu'min should not do zulm even to the enemies of Allah. لا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى. If the children of Yazid, no, everyone knows how we feel towards Yazid. But if children of Yazid come to you, you cannot do zulm to them. Or to the family of Yazid, you cannot do zulm because of Yazid. Even if Yazid himself has another case and you are the judge about that case, which is not related to what he did in Karbala or other things, you cannot do zulm to him. This is how much in adl is important. Sallallahu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'minin. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam says, so he has made and she has made justice compulsory. Without justice, we cannot get anywhere. With the worst people, with the even people who have been killing your children, your family, still you have to observe justice. Nothing more than justice. You can forgive if it's in your hand, if it doesn't cause greater harm, you can forgive. But you cannot go more than justice and punish them more than what they deserve. Justice is to be observed. So, قَدْ أَلْزَمَ نَفْسَهُ الْعَدْلِ. They have committed themselves to justice. فَكَانَ أَوَّلَ عَدْلِهِ. But the first step towards justice is نَفْيُ الْهَوَى عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. is not to go after your own whims and desires, which are not fair, which are not right, which are not just, which are not balanced. Because unfortunately, the first zulm that we do is zulm to ourselves. Actually, when we do zulm to other people, before and more than doing zulm to them, we are doing zulm to ourselves. When a person kills another person unjustly, he has done more damage to himself than the other person. Look at Habil and Qabil. When we look at the story of Habil and Qabil, we think that Qabil was murderer and zalim, and Habil was the victim and mazlum. We think the story is so simple like this. But indeed, there is a greater mazlum than Habil. Because Habil, although he lost his life, but he was not suffering in the things which are greater. Actually, he became a martyr, and he ended up with having a better position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in heaven. So although his life was unjustly taken away, but he didn't lose. Okay, like the martyrs of Karbala, they haven't lost anything great. They have given this worldly short, I don't know, term life, and they have given been given by Allah something greater. And this is why Lady Zainab said, Ma ra'aytu illa jameela. If you want to know who has been receiving greater zulm, that is actually Qabil himself. Qabil has done more zulm to himself than to the victim. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he became one of the khasirin. He lost himself. A murderer, a killer, a person who wrongs other people is causing more harm to himself than to the victims. We only see the victims crying or, I don't know, suffering or dying. We don't know how much harm these people, these criminals, have done to themselves. So they are greater mazlum. Their nafs, which could be a nafs mutma'inne, which could be a khalifatullah, they have ruined it and damaged it. So if you want to observe justice, you have to be very careful about obeying the commands of your nafs, because you would ruin yourself and you would harm other people. And there is no way to harm people without harming yourself. There is no way to insult people without insulting and humiliating yourself. So, فَكَانَ أَوَّلَ عَدْلِهِ نَفْيُ الْحَوَىٰ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ يَسَفُ الْحَقِّ وَيَعْمَلُ بِهِ. Many people talk about haq. Many people talk about truth, about justice. But how many people observe it? Amir al-Mu'mineen says these are the people that they describe haq and they act upon it. This is important, not just talking. Everyone to please people, everyone to get popularity, talks about haq, about justice, about rights of people, rights of poor. But who is actually implementing what he says? This is important. يَصَفُ الْحَقِّ وَيَعْمَلُ بِهِ. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, La yada'u lil-khayri ghayatan illa ammaha. This shows how ambitious you have to be. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, he does not leave anything from goodness except that he intends to achieve. So there should be nothing good that we don't target. Anything good good of dunya and anything good of akhirah, we should try to achieve. You may say, how we can achieve everything good? At least in your intention. In your intention, you should not limit yourself. In your intention, you should have the intention of doing all the good. If you can do it, actually, alhamdulillah. If you cannot do it, at least because of your intention, you would be rewarded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us even for the good intentions that we were not able to actualize. But there is a condition. This is a very important point. If someone says, I have the intention of feeding 100 people who are poor, but I have only money to feed 10 people. I have the intention of feeding 100 people. So he would be given the sawab of feeding 100 people because he has the intention of feeding 100 people. Someone is more clever. He says, I am also only able to feed actually 10 people, but I have the intention of feeding 1,000 people. Then Allah would give him more reward. Someone says, I can only feed 10 people, but I have the intention of feeding all the poor people in the world. This person is more clever. So he will get more reward. And the one who is the cleverest, he says, I have the intention of feeding all the people of today and all the people who come in future. I love to be able to establish, I don't know, a charity that would feed all people till the end of dunya. So he will get more reward. But Allah gives reward based on the intention to these people with one condition. And that is if they have really exhausted their resources by feeding those people that they can. So if I can feed 10 people and then after feeding that 10, I make intention for feeding million, Allah says, mashallah, you are honest. You were able to feed 10 people, you did, and now you have more intention. But if I have been able to feed 10 people and I feed only 9 people and say I have the intention of 11, Allah says, this is not honest. Because you were able to feed one more person and you didn't do. So, you see, people, this is very important in the way you do business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People in dunya may not be very much different in what they do. Because what you see is only the physics. You see, this person has fed 10 people. The other person also has fed 10 people. What is the difference? No difference. Or this person has fed 10 people and another has fed 9 people. Only one person is different. This is what you see. But on the day of judgment, you see that there is big difference. Someone has fed 9 and he gets only 9. Someone has fed 10 and only gets 10. Someone has fed 10 and gets million. Someone gets billion. It's based on your niyyah. This is why one of the du'as is Allahumma waffir bi lutfika niyyati. Oh Allah, please make my niyyah grow and abundant. But who can have such abundant niyyah? The one who has great heart. If you have concern for all humanity, then you can have the intention of feeding all humanity. But if you have concern only for your family or only for your community or only for your own race, you cannot feel responsible for feeding all humanity. In any case, what is important is that you should not let any opportunity for doing or at least intending good to be missed. If you want to gain a lot for your akhirah, no opportunity for doing good or at least intending to do good if you have already done what you could. لا يدع للخير غاية إلا أمها. أمها بالحمزة means قصدها. Okay, now let me talk about the first sentence. The khutbah is so beautiful that takes you with itself So we have now to go back to the first point. Why we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us against ourselves? And why Amirul Mu'mineen starts this description, this account of self-development by saying that there are people that Allah has helped them against themselves? Why? Why Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in his dua says something in the same line? Look at this dua of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhaqni bisalih man mada waj'alni ma'asalih man baqi. Oh Allah, please enable me to join the righteous people of previous generations. I want to join them. I want my name to be registered in the same list as them. And also, waj'alni ma'a salih man baqi. And also, let me be in company of the righteous people who have survived. If you are in dunya with salihin, then you can ask Allah also to put your name in the list of salihin of previous generations. But you cannot forget salihin of today and make friendship with bad people and say, I want my name to be registered in the name of the salihin of previous generations. You cannot say, I want to be with companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when now you don't try to be with the followers of Imam Zaman. It's not possible. وَخُذْ بِي سَبِيلَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Please take me to the path of righteous people. Put me on the same direction that righteous people have. وَأَعِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي. This is the dua which I said it's nice to do in qunut. Sometimes do this in qunut in your sajda. أَعِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي. بِمَا تُعِينُ بِهِ الصَّالِحِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Oh Allah, help me. Against whom? Against enemies? No. Against, I don't know, my neighbors, my brothers and sisters that I am not 100% happy with them. Against my husband and wife, for example, we have, you know, difficulties. No, this is too little. It must be against your greatest enemy, which is your own nafs. أَعِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي. Help me against my own nafs. بِمَا تُعِينُ بِهِ الصَّالِحِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. In the same way that you have helped righteous people against themselves. So why they are successful? Because they were able to resist against their nafs. They were able to tame their nafs. They were able to change their nafs. At least the first step is not to listen, not to obey. أما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. Allah says the people who have fear and respect and awe towards the position of the Lord, and they prohibit their nafs to go after her whims, these are the people that heaven belongs to them. Heaven will be their abode. So, أعني على نفسي بما تعين به الصالحين على أنفسهم ولا تردني إلى سوء استنقذتني من. Please don't turn me back, return me, send me back to the bad things that you have saved me from them. Maybe in the past I was doing some bad things. I had some bad habits. Alhamdulillah, you have helped me to stop. Please help me to remain in this state and don't go back to what I used to be. لا تردني إلى سوء استنقذتني منه يا رب العالمين. So this is very important that we should be very much alert about this internal enemy, this nafs, this internal enemy. You all know this hadith. Everyone must have heard this famous hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw some of the soldiers, Muslim soldiers, some of his companions coming back from a battle that they had just won. So happily they were coming back to Medina, that they made the victory and they were very happy. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Marhaban biqawmin qadabu al-jihad al-asqar wabaghiya alayhim al-jihad al-akbar." Welcome. Well done to the people that they have finished, accomplished the minor jihad, the minor struggle, and they have to now accomplish success and victory in a greater jihad. They didn't know what does it mean. They thought perhaps there is another, you know, militant battle which is greater. Maybe there are bigger armies. So they didn't know what does it mean. There is something greater. And Rasulullah said, that is to fight against your own nafs. That's more difficult. With an external enemy, you can see the enemy. You can consider every little motion of the enemy. You can consider all the communications of the enemy. But with the internal enemy, it's very difficult to notice. And also you so much love yourself that you don't want to fight yourself. You know, like a person that, for example, his son is fighting him. It's very difficult to fight your son or father because you love your son and father. You cannot fight. What about fighting yourself? We so much love ourselves and we are obsessed with ourselves that we don't want to fight ourselves. So it's very difficult. Very difficult battle. It needs help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to attack the satanic side of your nafs and to free the divine side of your nafs. So in each of us, indeed, there are two personalities. There are two people fighting. Your nafs ammare and your aql. You know, in dua sabah, when you go to sajda, you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda that my situation is like this. Elahi qalbi mahjub wa nafsi ma'yub wa aqli maghlub wa hawa'i ghalib wa ta'ati qalil wa ma'siyati kathir. If this is the situation, then it's very critical. My heart is ill. My heart is covered and blocked. My hawa, my whims, my lower desires, my appetites have taken control. And my aql is imprisoned. You know, imagine if the enemies attack one country and imprison all the good people and put them in a very difficult situation so that they cannot do anything. This is the situation inside us. Aqli maghloob. My aql is defeated. Wa hawa'i ghalib. If this is the case, then it's easy to understand why. Ta'ati qaleel wa ma'siyati kathir. So we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us against this nafs. One of the things we very much find in our du'as is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to leave us alone in this battle. Not to leave us to our own nafs. إلهي لا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين أبدا. Please don't leave me alone in this battle. I feel frightened if you leave me alone. Ibn Abi Ya'fur, one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, says, I saw Imam Sadiq alayhi salam raising his hand to a sky. Rafi'un yadahu ila sama. Rabbi la takilni ila nafsi tarfata aynin abada. This is Imam Ma'soom. And actually, this is why they become Ma'soom. And we have to follow their footsteps. He was raising his hand to the sky and saying, my Lord, please do not let me alone. Do not leave me to myself. Even for one eye blink. لا أقل من ذلك ولا أكثر. Even if you can conceive of any time frame which is shorter or bigger at all. Then Ibn Abi Ya'fur says, فما كان بأسرع من أن تحدر الدموع من جوانب لحيته. He says, then the tears were coming down on the beards of Imam. Then he says, Imam Sadiq told me, Yabna Abi Ya'fur, O son of Abi Ya'fur, Inna Yunus ibn Matta, the Prophet Yunus, وَكَلَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ أَقَلَّ مِنْ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left this prophet to himself, left him alone in this battle for a time shorter than I blink. أَقَلْ مِنْ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ فَأَخَذَتْ ذَلِكَ الذَّمِ. Then the result was that big mistake that he did. وَظَنُّونَ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاظِبًا فَظَنَّ أَن لَن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى. You know the story. So even a prophet, even an imam, if he is left alone in this fight, then he can make mistakes. So brothers and sisters, we have to wake up. We should change our understanding of ourselves. We shouldn't think that we are perfect, we are nice, we are good, and only problems come from other people. The source of problems are here. I'm not saying other people are masoom, but first fix your problems and then try to sort out problems of people if you have time. I think you will never get time to think about other people. طوبى لمن شغلته عيوبه عن عيوب الآخرين. How much time you have? If you spend all your time on fixing your own problems, you would not have enough time. First, help yourself. You know, when you are on the plane and they give you safety instructions, they say if you face shortage of oxygen, automatically a mask comes. But then they say first you should attend to yourself and then to the people who are next. Put first the oxygen mask on your mouth and after that help other people. If you don't first sort out your problem and want to fix problem of other people, you cannot help them and you cannot help yourself. Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam says the one who wants to teach people and educate people should start with teaching himself, with educating himself. So I can only one day start complaining other people. And that is the day that I can say I have finished my job with my own problems. And that day never comes. And if you think your day has come, you are mistaken. No alim, no holy person, No Arif has ever said that Alhamdulillah, that day came for me that I have no problem. So we have to be alert. We have to be careful all the time, especially about ourselves. And then if we get chance, we think about other people. This is not forgetting helping other people. Helping other people is another issue. I'm talking about complaining, criticizing, and finding guilt in other people. I'm not talking about, you know, giving water to people or food to people or dress to people or help. I'm not talking about helping in this sense. I'm talking about being critical and complaining. Inshallah, we continue this discussion, and inshallah, tomorrow I will explain what is Islamic understanding of self-esteem and confidence that we should have. Last night we remembered Lady Zainab Salamullah Alayha, and tonight we remember two sons of Lady Zainab Salamullah Alayha.
As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwahi allati halat bifnaak alayk minni salamullah أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين دید زینب چو برادر تناست بهر یاری برادر برخواست When the lady saw Imam Hussein is alone The sons and the other companions of Imam have already become martyrs. She went to offer her help. Do jigar gusheye khodara talabid. Be moye har do pesar shane kejid. She called her both sons and combed their hair and made them ready for battle. Rooy bar hujjat davar avard. Har dura nazd baradar avard. He went to Imam, took both sons to her brother. از تو سر در راه حق باختن است سهم من سوختن و ساختن است حسین You are going to give your life for the sake of Allah, but I am supposed to remain and be patient. دو جگر گوشه من منتظرند خبر از ما سوی مادر ببرند but let my share be to offer my two sons to Allah. My two sons are waiting to take our news to our mother. Ey برادر تو دوای دردم با چه روی به حرم برگردم. او حسین, you are the cure for my illness. How can I go back to dance and not do anything for you? این دو گل هست به دوران ثمرم, هدیه بفرست به سوی پدرم. These two flowers are the outcomes of my life. Please accept them and send them as a gift to my father. گفت ای خواهر غم پرور من, بس بود داغ علی اکبر من. امام حسین said, oh my dear sister, it's enough for me to mourn for علی اکبر. I cannot see the death of your son. It is said that the lady Zainab went to Imam Hussein and asked for permission on behalf of her sons. Imam Hussein alayhi salam first didn't give permission, said maybe your husband Abdullah is not happy. The lady said it's not the case. Indeed, he himself told me, if the battle is started, you must make sure that our sons go to battle before the sons of Hussein. The lady insisted till finally Imam gave permission. On the son of lady went to the battle and started reciting this poem. انتون كروني فانا ابن جعفري شهيد صدقين في الجنان ازهرو. If you don't know me, I am introducing myself. I am the son of Jafar Tayyar, because his father was Abdullah, the son of Jafar. Jafar Tayyar is Shaheed al-Sidqin, is the martyr of truth who is in heaven. Yatiru fiha bijana'in akhdari kafa bihada sharafan fil mahshari. It is sufficient as honor for us that Jafar is flying in heaven with wings. Then after battle and killing some enemies, Abdullah ibn Qutb Ta'i killed all. After all, his brother Muhammad started fighting, reciting these rajas. Nashku ila Allah min al-udwani فعال قوم في الردى عمياني. We take our complaint to Allah about the enemies that have become blind. They cannot see anything. قد بدلوا معالم القرآن ومحكم التنزيل والتبيان. They have distorted, disregarded the teachings of Quran. وَأَظْهَرُ الْكُفْرَ مَعَ الدُّغْيَانِ. And instead of following Quran, they have developed kufr. And then enemies attacked him and killed him. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ.